7:34 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark and Blaine, Kevin off today. Out in lovely California. For Belmont, we'll play UCLA. And as we always do this time of the week, bring in Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. Dennis, good morning.
Mark and Blaine, how are you? Good morning.
We're great, and I am anxious to hear from you, your take, on the talk of playoff expansion and how all of a sudden all these naysayers from a few years ago have seen the light and not only want a playoff, but want a bigger one.
I hate to get off my lawn, guy, but I'm here to tell you there was absolutely no momentum for an expanded playoff. If they ask the Pac-12, I think we know what their verdict is. They're not chasing championships. We know how their presidents feel. Anybody ask ESPN if they want to scratch a check for double what they pay now?
Yeah, that's...
Look, I've quoted some of those same sources. I quoted Barry Alvarez in August saying it's time to go to six. But Barry Alvarez is off the committee. And this is... I'm here to tell you there's nothing new here. There's no momentum. I'm not saying it won't go to eight. I think eventually it will. But I don't know where the outrage is coming from. Who exactly got screwed these last 5 years that we have to go to eight?
Oh, they're saying that Jim Delaney, is benevolently saying that Central Florida got screwed.
Right, and these are the people that made the system that screwed for UCF.
Yeah.
These are the people that in 2012 in Washington, D.C., got in the room and made the system. So it is. What exactly has changed their minds? Why are they so benevolent? So that exactly hasn't happened. So there's nothing going on, guys. For 5 years, they've kind of gotten this thing right. And if you're going to tell me Georgia got screwed, that's what would actually have started talks for an expanded playoff, the SEC getting two wins for two straight years.
Well, to me, the other part of it is that people don't understand, and it's something you alluded to right off the top, and that is not only is ESPN paying $3 billion, but they're paying a lot of money for, media rights during, what they consider a pretty valuable regular season. Right. And I think everybody's worried if that playoff gets too big, it's going to compromise what is one of the best regular seasons in sports.
I agree. I've been telling people, look, ESPN essentially pays this money or any rights holders, and then they hustle their butts off and go out and sell ads and subscriptions to their service to try to get it back. And I've talked to TV consultants who say, look, adding a quarterfinal layer wouldn't exactly be a home run. Here's why. For all the 13-0 UCF, you've got to have them in, There's going to be years when your group of five winner is a 10-2 Marshall going to Alabama in the first round. How's that sound? Anybody want to see that game? So it is what it is. It wouldn't exactly be a ratings winner in the first round. And again, I'll say it again, no momentum right now, folks. Sorry.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, and this may be totally goofy, but let's hypothetically say that ESPN pays $6
billion. Right.
I think at that point it would be impossible to defend not paying the players. Because the dollars have gotten so crazy, and I still think 1 year you might have some kind of an uprising, I don't know if it's a strike, I don't know if it's what it would be, but it would be interesting because if that happened, that could paralyze things.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I had a story this week referring to the Alston trial. This is going deep behind baseball, but. People need to know this. There's a lawsuit out. It'll be addressed on December 18th, whatever that is, Monday, Tuesday. The plaintiffs are arguing unrestricted pay for players in the form of, and this is how they're going about it, they're arguing that what the conference has decided, not the NCAA, give them the option of paying players. And the point of my story was, even though it would be an option, the conferences are very quietly planning for the day when they would do that. What could we pay? What do we want to pay? don't talk to anybody about it because it could be interpreted as collusion, because we are talking about it within our conference. If the SEC offers cars, maybe the ACC offers bigger cars. That's what we're talking about. The pressures on the pot, unregulated money in this system, become so big that one of these lawsuits is going to sneak through. This isn't the first one. One was settled a couple of years ago for $208 million. Class action players in the past. This would change the rules forever for the future.
Man, Dennis, if that actually happens, just thinking off the top of my head now, if one individual conference decides, shouldn't the NCAA just say, you know what, we need to step out here and kind of make a rule for all before that could actually happen?
You would think, you're right, Blaine, you would think the NCAA would be proactive and strike a deal and say, hey, let us license the jersey. Let's get into a partnership so you can share it with the players. But the way it was described to me, people in power want to stay in power. And the NCAA isn't the only example. They're very stubborn in doing it. But they what I didn't mention off the top, they would fight this to the Supreme Court. They always do. Doesn't mean they'd win.
Well, I guess on to something positive here. I guess the Heisman was given to Kyler Murray, much deserved. And I think any of the candidates probably could have won in any given year. But this year, three great candidates. What were your thoughts on who should have won, or if you had it the same way that the Heisman had it?
Yeah, I thought it was well deserved. Look, it in the last 4 weeks, four games, I looked it up. These quarterbacks were who they were. Tua wasn't as good as he had been. I think it was 67% passing, 992 yards, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Kyler Murray, 1,332 yards, 71%, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And I think if you take the body of work, he was better. You have to, I'm glad people held their votes, those that did. You have to include that game where Tua got hurt and had the worst game of his career. It just counts. And for all those who talk about, all of those defenses in the Big 12, well, Alabama played Citadel in the final 4 weeks. So what are we talking about? Look, Alabama's got the best quarterback depth in the country. They may be the best team in the country, but I thought Kyler Murray was the best player in the country.
All right, we'll have more from Dennis. 7:42 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. But first, Wilson County Automotive Family, a Bone family tradition since 1927, and that includes Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Good morning, Mitchell Bone.
Good morning, Mark Howard. How are you today?
I am great, and I know you are in high gear with this end-of-the-year sale, so tell us about it.
You are right. We are just cooking with the best deals of the year. We've got employee pricing for everyone on new Chevrolets. It includes just about every new Chevrolet we've got on our lot. It's just a fantastic deal. I love it when these kind of things roll around because we get to place a lot of great vehicles with a lot of great folks. You can, of course, find all of the deals right there online at WilsonCountyMotors.com. Apply for financing. You can even buy the entire vehicle right there, and we'll deliver it to you. It's a fantastic way to do it. Or you can just come to and see us. We're at exit 236 off I-40 in Lebanon, just 20 minutes east of the Nashville Airport. But just one little caveat. Today we are having our Christmas party, and we'll be closing at 5.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Hey, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Absolutely. Enjoy the party. Have a great weekend, Mitchell.
You do the same. Thank you.
All right. That's Wilson County Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. Great people, great deals, fantastic service in nearby. Oh. 7:48 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop. Let's bring Dennis Dodd back. And Blaine?
Yes. Dennis, man, thanks for coming back and thanks for coming on air with us for a second segment there while we let the music kind of play out a little bit. But, man, we're here in Nashville and Vanderbilt made an outside-the-box hire there with Malcolm Turner, who's a very bright, intelligent guy. But he hadn't any history there, in the college industry, but he's shown he's had a lot of success doing some other things. What did you think about the hire? Because I feel like the risk is low. What if it doesn't work out in 3 or 4 years, there Vanderbilt could go right back to where they are right now, dormant.
Yeah,
I thought it was a unique idea and want to see if he can have some success at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, don't know much about them, frankly. I thought that it was well received in the industry, and go from there. Obviously, Vanderbilt's on the upturn, and yeah, it looks like a good hire. It's I think we have 20 coaching changes overall in the head coaches. I was surprised to see that we had 22 last year. Well, it's like already this year.
But doesn't it sort of also reflect how the profile for an AD, Dennis, has changed in the last 10 or 15 years, how you're looking into the corporate world instead of a former coach?
Yeah, I think that's been going on for a while. It's not so much the corporate world. It's that ADs come up with a business degree, maybe an MBA, not necessarily from the corporate world. But we've gotten away from the coach thing for a long, long time. The days of Bob Devaney at Nebraska and stuff like that and Woody Hayes at Ohio State is long gone. These guys are basically corporate people when they come up with an athletic background. I look at Drake Byrne at Alabama. You're basically running a multi-million, sometimes not a billion, multi-million dollar company that stands on its own. Florida has its own athletic association. A lot of these schools separate for tax purposes. So, you know, in that respect, how to balance dollars, and you got to do it, and then you got to win.
Well, Dennis, man, I didn't realize DJ Durkin was kind of being a consultant there at Alabama. I don't know if you were aware of that at the point in time, but it made me think about two things. Is Saban the place or Alabama a place to go for a rehab and maybe get another shot at head coaching? Or do you think Durkin and like guys like Greg Schiano may never, ever get a shot at being a head coach again? But time does heal all wounds, right?
Yeah, it's become the 12 steps program in that at Alabama. Look at Sarkisian, look at Lane Kiffin, look at Mike Locksley, look at Butch Jones, who went with him to Maryland. And DJ, look, I don't really have a problem with DJ Durkin at Alabama. I know there's a lot of outrage out there, but if what's being reported is true, he's a consultant. You know, I guess I would have a bit of a problem if he was actually coaching players on the field, but it looks like he's far, far away from that after having a player die in June under his watch. At the very least, we know that's true. It's not creating the culture that led to it. But for him to be a quote-unquote consultant, I don't have a problem with it, frankly. So, and we didn't mention Hugh Freeze at Liberty either. That was another one. I thought it would be a while before he became a head coach. You know, he had chances to become an offensive coordinator, and frankly, Liberty's probably one of the only places in the country that could hire him right now. I just wish he'd stop talking about in euphemisms about his past, how he dishonored his wife and inconvenienced his wife. Call it what it is and move on. Everything else is trying to fool people. I believe in second chances, and you know, good for him.
What about Missouri winning the Kelly Bryant sweepstakes?
Yeah.
That keeps that offense going, huh?
Yeah, Derek Dooley.
It does, and I'm shocked. being a Missouri grad and its long history of missteps and bad luck and everything else, you know, good for them. I don't quite know why he went there. When I saw the schools that he had visited Kelly Bryant, I thought, really, the only one that had a championship background was Auburn. And when he picked Missouri, I go, well, he's going to play his final season at a place with a second-time offensive coordinator and Derek Dooley and a defensive head coach that is losing its best receiver, Emmanuel Hall. So we shall see. Good for Kelly Bryant.
And as far as offensive coordinator hires, you can't do a whole lot better than Cliff Kingsbury as he goes to USC, and maybe that will solidify Clay Helton's hold on that job, but he comes in, with a guy that obviously has had some prolific offenses.
Yeah, and if it doesn't solidify his hold on the job, Cliff Kingsbury looks like, for all the world, the coach is waiting. Let's say they go 6-6 or 5-7 again, but have a great offense. What really Cliff Kingsbury did in 5 years at Texas Tech, that is irony of ironies, he probably
grabbed hold of one of the top five jobs in the country doing exactly what he did at Texas Tech. Now, at USC, they're going to have a good defense because they're going to have to contend again because that's their tradition. But good for him. It'll really be interesting to see how he meshes with that sophomore quarterback, JT Daniels.
Dennis, great stuff as always. Have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. The phone connection got a little sketchy there, so I thought we'd let him go after that.
I thought some good stuff there.
Yeah, and the stuff about the playoff is really interesting, and if you missed it right off the top, Dennis said doesn't want to be a wet blanket, but the people that he's talked to, the momentum for an 8-team playoff is almost non-existent, that he doesn't think they're going to blow this contract up midway through, that he thinks they're going to go to 2023 or 2026, or, I think the expiration date is 2026. But, he doesn't see it right now for a lot of different reasons, and he agrees with me on the premise that, it's $3 billion right now to pay for it. If they double it, I'm just telling you, the players at some point, somebody's going to organize the players and let them know that they should be paid, they should be paid well, and they should withhold their services, which would, stop the whole thing in its tracks.
Great cash, homie.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, straight ahead. The Titans against the Giants through the eyes of Rashawn Evans. 7:56 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5.